It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 4-2 on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Carrie's got our sad organ music going. The Hawks made it interesting in the third period, Troy. We were talking about it in the second intermission, where the Hawks had 5 shots on goal in the first 2 periods. Minnesota had 3 goals, but you said this game is far from over. It didn't feel like the Hawks had a chance, but boy, they look like a different team in the third.
Well, they got the early power play opportunity, and they made it count right away, and that gave the building life, and it gave the team life. And then he scored another one, and then, you know, they had some chances to tie this game up. Minnesota able to get the late empty net goal to, you know, expand their lead to 4-2, which is where it ended. But, you know, good period by the Blackhawks, their execution. I don't know, maybe Minnesota sat back a little bit in the third period, up 3-0. But you know that a team that's behind is always going to come with a push, and the Blackhawks did an excellent job there to make this game interesting. And it was right there, right to the end.
So the shots on goal in the third period and in overtime in the last game against Tampa Bay were 18-1 in favor of Tampa. The Hawks got outshot 11-1 in the first period of this hockey game, and then 7-4 in the second period. So the shots were 36-6 for the opponent versus Chicago in the last 3 periods plus overtime prior to that third period. As I was saying, in the second, not good.
I'm not a smart man, but
that's not good.
That's not good. You're not going to win many games with that.
Yeah. So it really was a poor start. It was one of your keys to the game for the Blackhawks going into this game, where they have to find ways to get shots to the net and also higher quality. And they did not get any of those in the first 2 periods.
No, but you got them in the third period. And I don't know why. There's no rhyme or reason to what was going on that worked in the second and third period, except they started to win some battles. And I don't think Minnesota, you know, checked as hard. They didn't leave themselves exposed, but, you know, when you take a penalty, doesn't matter what you do, the other team's on the power play, and then they were able to score on that one, and then you get some energy, and they were able to capitalize on the next one. That was by Frank Nazar, who's been, you know, really good here as of late. And then it makes it interesting, but, you know, you got to play that way through 60 minutes, and then if you are in the lead, you got to find a way to lock it down. Minnesota, I'm sure that the way they've played on the road here with the record that they have, the best record in the NHL on the road, that they know how to shut games down, and they did a pretty good job. But, you know, Hawks made it interesting and had some chances in the last couple minutes.
The puck management was the story for the first 2 periods of the hockey game. I think the Hawks were credited, or not credited, but they were hit with 20 giveaways in this hockey game. I was looking up this right before we came on, and I was surprised to see this, Troy. The Hawks are actually one of the best teams in fewest giveaways per 60 minutes at 12.93. They're third in the NHL in fewest giveaways. I know there's kind of a discrepancy as to what qualifies.
Do you want to get into that?
Go for it.
Because it's a discretionary call.
Right.
Of what is a takeaway, what is a giveaway from the off-ice officials, and I know that they all have to go through classes and stuff, but when you see some takeaways that are, you know, 15-17, and then the next game is 2-1, you know, giveaways, I think that, you know, this number in this game, the giveaways, is a good indication of kind of what happened in this game. It was legit that they were making some bad plays, some bad decisions, and they weren't executing what they needed to do in the first 2 periods. So that says a lot. I don't think that... What was the number after 2 periods there? You got that right in front of you.
Yeah, I think it was 18-6.
Yeah, so 2 giveaways in the third period for the Blackhawks. And, you know, I don't think they changed the way that they were ticking off giveaways in this game. But, you know, I can't see that the Blackhawks can be one of the top teams as far as not giveaways, but, you know, is what is.
I was waiting to see how you're going to tie that
up. Well, I don't, you know, it's up to the off-ice officials. And, you know, sometimes you look at the hits in a game, and you go, wow, I mean, you got 35 hits, and you go, I don't remember one. Right. And then you look at it, and you know there's a bunch of hits, and then like you might be credited with two. You're going, well, wait a minute, that, you know, doesn't make sense. But I'm not going to argue. They have a job to do, and they do it the best of their ability.
All right, we'll get this thing back on the rails.
Where were you going with that?
I was more so mentioning the puck management for the Blackhawks there. It was poor in the first two.
It was poor.
There were a lot of turnovers.
Man, I mean, in the first two periods, they really couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, they were stumbling and they were coughing pucks up. They were making bad decisions. Plays that were right in front of them were behind, ahead. You know, a lot of icing calls because they just didn't connect with plays that should be just redirected, tipped into the offensive zone so you can get in on a forecheck. So a lot of things that they did in the first two periods were self-destructing. And, you know, you go back to, and you and I talked about it after the first intermission, the two goals in the first period, complete giveaways by the Blackhawks. And, you know, those things, hockey is a tough sport because it happens so fast and there's a lot of mistakes. It's how you manage those mistakes, how you cover up for those mistakes that really kind of matters, because the game is too fast. It's not that structured like some other sports. So you got to accept that there's going to be mistakes. But you got to limit those and you got to execute plays. And I don't want to pick on Nolan Allen and Del Mastro because they're just finding their legs here at the NHL level. But Del Mastro doesn't get the puck in deep. You've got three forwards caught in deep, and now Minnesota comes back on a 3-on-2, and they score on that goal. And Nolan Allen had the puck inside his own zone right next to the Blackhawks bench. He's on his back end. He tries to make a play, doesn't get out. Minnesota scores. So those are plays there that are self-inflicted mental mistakes that they got to be harder at if they want to win these type of games. Nobody's going to give you anything for free. You're going to have to earn it.
The Blackhawks wrapped up a home stretch where they had 11 of 13 at home. They did have that first couple seasons. It was just a wild road schedule for Chicago, but now they're about to embark on a three-game road trip. And, boy, it's a gauntlet. You got Tampa, Carolina, and Florida. I mean, good luck.
And then Edmonton coming back.
And then Edmonton coming back to Chicago to close things out. So opponents for the Blackhawks are not getting any easier during this stretch.
No, and you know, you're getting into the position of the season. They talk about the dog days of January and February, and everybody's probably kind of looking forward to this four-nation break where they can get away for those players who aren't playing in that tournament. And then you get back to, okay, here's the stretch run. But for a lot of these teams that are in the playoff hunt right now and want to stay there, and if they want to get into that position, these are games that they have to win, because they're going to play a tough schedule. They're going to have tough opponents, and you may go back and forth. You may play 500, but as long as you're playing 500 and the other guys are playing 500, nobody's going to gain ground. But these are games for Minnesota, for Tampa, who came in here, and you know they scored in the last minute to tie that game up. These are big points. And the Hawks are not going to get easy games from now on, because everybody wants to come in here, and they want these 2 points. Whether they bring their you know, best to the table, when you kind of look at it and you see, well, San Jose's at the bottom, Chicago's right there as well. They might not get mentally prepared, you know, to play games, but a good coach and a veteran group inside the room is going to make sure that those guys are ready. And Minnesota was ready to play this game, and the Hawks were not.
All right, let's get to another sidebar storyline of the night. The Super Bowl matchup is set, Philadelphia and Kansas City. I saw John doing cartwheels over there. John, are you good?
Huh? Hang on, Charlie. I got to do a couple more backflips here. Hold on. Let me get back with
did
you.
Did we get any officiating leaning Kansas City's way in this game?
Yeah, I'm sure the conspiracy theorists will all be out there saying NFL wants Kansas City to win. I don't know where that comes from. You know something? Buffalo is going to win a Super Bowl. I'm going to say it right here, right now. They are going to win a Super Bowl. That's too good of a team. And when you lose to the Chiefs, who win Super Bowls, they're going to find a way to get past them. And one of these years, it's going to happen. And they're going to win a Super Bowl. So, Patrick Kane, if you're listening, Kaner,
oh, yeah.
Your Bills are going to win a Super Bowl. Book it.
I jumped off the wagon, by the way. I'm no longer part of the Bills Mafia. Yeah.
He hit that table and then rolled over on his ankles. That's it.
Why?
I'm done.
You're not on the Bills Mafia train anymore?
Well, no, because they lost. I'm jumping off the wagon.
You're jumping off
but
right now.
But I don't want to jump on it for either one of the two teams in the Super Bowl either.
Yeah. John, I know you're
too fragile.
Abstention on his part, I understand. Yeah.
Do you like their chances, KC, over
It's
Philly?
A rematch against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles are going to be sky-high for that game. I mean, I like their coach, Sirianni.
Is that who they played last year?
No, it wasn't last year. It was a couple years ago. And the Chiefs...
The Kelsey brothers.
Yeah,
Kelsey brothers. Each other, yeah.
Yeah. And the brotherly shove was in vogue that day. And, boy, that Eagles offensive line was dominant in that game. But Kansas City found a way to win. I think that this is going to be another real close game. This was won by a field goal this afternoon. I think it's going to be the same thing in the Super Bowl.
Yep. I did have one eye. It came down to a 4th-and-5, I think, with, like, 2 minutes left in the game. And Buffalo failed to convert. So,
yeah.
Anywho.
Bah,
humbug.
Charlie, I'm just happy that they got back. So I'll leave it at that.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll check back in a couple weeks.
Who are you kidding?
he wants to.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, I don't mind if they lose the Super Bowl as long as we got back here. Like, come on.
I said I'm happy that they got back.
Yeah.
If they wouldn't have gotten back, I'd have been seriously bummed. I want them to win for sure. I never said I didn't want them to win.
Well, you just said you're happy that they're back.
That's right, I am. I wasn't lying.
But the season's not over yet.
I know. Don't make I want me him officiate. To win the Super Bowl.
Don't make me officiate this.
don't make me stop this car.
I'll turn this thing around. All right, you guys.
Troy, this was a special night, Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Throughout the entire day or throughout the entire game, there were people being honored. You got cards everywhere of people that had names in their seats. So just thoughts on what this night means to you and just the rest of the Blackhawks fan base.
It's a very special night, obviously, and in my situation, it is a little bit more magnified, but I just see the love inside, you know, the United Center with everybody who's fighting it, and everybody in this whole building is fighting it one way or the other, whether it's a friend, relative, you know, everybody is involved in this, so it's really good, and I'm so impressed with what the NHL has done as far as their initiative for this Hockey Fights Cancer night that they have. Every team does it, and I think it's just a big opportunity to understand how widespread everything is with cancer, and, you know, the more, I don't want to put this the wrong way, but the more I know about cancer, the more I know that they don't know everything about cancer.
Right.
What I have could be completely different in your body, and you know, you just never know what's going to happen. They go through the protocol that's been, you know, the path that you have to go through, and it's not fun. And anybody who's been around a cancer patient, whether it's, you know, chemotherapy, whether it's radiation, it's not fun. So a night like this is an opportunity to celebrate that. It's not an opportunity to feel sorry for it. I think it's an opportunity to look on the other side and say, you know, how many people are battling this? How many people are surviving this? The support staff, they recognized, you know, the nurses, the, you know, the doctors, you know, everybody who's the caregivers, they're all in this as well. So, you know, to me, a very special night. I loved everything about it, and you know, I just can't say enough about what the NHL does and what the Blackhawks did here tonight. What a great production.
Yeah, most definitely. And I feel like for me, I'm inspired by you, by your positivity that you bring to the rink and the game every day. And you're at every practice, every morning skate, every game. And so I look up to you in that way and how you bring that energy to the to work every day, even though I know you're battling. So we love you. And appreciate that it rubs off on all of us on the broadcast team. So
well, I appreciate that, and I know John feels the same way. So thank you guys for all the support.
Yep. All right, that's a great Troy Murray. Have a great trip. It's going to be don't get too much sun in Carolina. I'm sorry.
Is it snow down there?
I don't know.
Hopefully, it didn't go down that far south, but it's not going to be 90 degrees.
I know. I think it's about in the 70s, low 70s. Maybe.
But the little fella. The little fella's got the agenda all planned out.
How many holes? 36?
Well, he's not even doing the game on Saturday, but he's going to fly. He does a TNT game on Wednesday, so he's not going to do the game in Tampa. He's going to do a game TNT, and he's going to do the game in Carolina. And rather than go home, he's going to go to Florida. He's not doing the Saturday game. So hopefully we get to play maybe a little golf on Friday, and then he's got something set up for Saturday morning before the game.
He'll make sure that there are multiple rounds involved.
Oh, he's nonstop.
All right. That is a great Troy Murray. We The Blackhawks postgame show is going to roll on after this. We're going to hear from Tyler Bertuzzi and Ethan Del Mastro on the other side. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Gaudreau wins the draw behind the net. Bogosian spins it around. Marcus Foligno from center ice shoots and scores. It's an empty net goal, and the Wild now lead the hockey game 4-2 with 1:42 left in the third period.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, here at the United Center, Hawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 4-2 to wrap up a home stretch where the Hawks had 11 of 13 at home. That goal was by Marcus Foligno, the empty netter. Feels like he has bajillion empty netters against Chicago this year. That was his eighth of the year. Good to see the Foligno brothers. They were out on the ice doing the ceremonial puck drop for the Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Both gave their sticks away to the young fan that dropped the puck, so that was a cool gesture. But unfortunately, the Blackhawks can't get a win for the fan base here. Tyler Bertuzzi picked up an assist in this hockey game, also logged 18:07 of ice time. He spoke with the media just a little bit ago. Let's listen in.
The first two periods, and what sparked you guys turning it on in the third?
Yeah, I mean, it's just another game where we didn't come out, you know, good enough, and you know, we made a late push, but you know, it's hard in this league to come back from three goals, and especially in a third period. Obviously, we made the push, but it wasn't good enough.
This back-to-back periods between Tampa Bay and this game with one shot on goal. Do you know, is it what teams are doing, or you guys are just not connected?
Yeah, I don't know. We definitely need to up our shot volume, get more guys to the net, and you know, kind of create chances, you know, off shots from the point, shots from the side, and yeah, we got to do a way better job.
Just with some of these younger guys, you got Nazar and Del Mastro and everything, and how encouraging is it with some of these guys being able to do?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they're playing good. They're playing fast. Not easy to come up and, you know, play you know, really good hockey, and they have been. You know, they look like they belong, and you know, obviously it's early on in their career, but just get it going, and you know, they're looking good out there.
What can some of the young guys learn from these games, even if it's a loss?
I don't know. Obviously we can't come out flat. You know, obviously, there's a little positive in the push at the end, but that needs to, you know, be addressed in the first, you know, 5 minutes of the whole game. When you have better starts, shoot more pucks, get more energy off shots and creating chances, and you know, that will lead to more ozone.
That was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi. Hey, wanted to also mention something about Bertuzzi. You noticed that he cut his hair. I think it was a couple weeks ago, and one of the things he does every single year is he grows out his hair really long, and then he cuts it midway through the season, and he donates it to a charity called Wigs for Kids. And so a really nice gesture there by Bertuzzi. I know he's a humble guy when it comes to that and doesn't like to bring attention to the why he's doing it, but I think it's cool to shout it out that he does that kind of in secret. And nice to see the gesture that he does there. Ethan Del Mastro, he played in his first NHL game of the season last game. He logged 18:22 of ice time and picked up an assist. It was on Frank Nazar's goal. I thought he had an excellent game for Del Mastro outside of a shift or two when he poor Bertuzzi, if he fired a shot off Bertuzzi, but Del Mastro was awesome. He spoke to the media earlier. Let's hear what he had to say.
Like here for you the night, last couple of days to be up here and contributing.
Yeah, no, it's awesome to be able to, you know, come up and play. You know, not the results we wanted in the past two games, but, you know, kind of get my feet wet this season and start, you know, play some games. It's awesome, and, you know, I'm enjoying it so far. It's just you need to turn around and keep going and keep pressing.
Why the tough start tonight?
I don't know. You know, it's just, I think, came out a little flat. You know, a tough start, but I mean, I'm happy how the group kind of responded in that third and, you know, put a press on and you know, kind of made it a game.
You feel good about getting a point in this game despite the result?
Yeah, I mean, you know, personal accolades kind of, you know, don't mean as much when you're losing, but yeah, obviously nice to, you know, get a point, but yeah, I think it's more so about the team.
Physicality ramped up as the game went along. Is that the style of game that you really embrace?
Yeah, I think a lot of guys in here embracing it, me for sure. You know, I think a lot of the older guys were saying we need to kind of get a little more, you know, drive, a little more physical, and you know, I think we brought that in the third.
What are some of the biggest things you've learned in these first two games?
Playing good teams. The past two teams we played have been really good. I think just, how skilled they are. You turn the puck over, it could end up in the back of your net pretty quick. So I think just, being smart with pucks and, realizing who you're on the ice with.
Frank has been a little bit of a heater lately. Obviously, you know him pretty well, but what have you seen with him up here?
Yeah, I think it's just all about confidence for him. When he's playing with the puck and moving his feet, he's a really good player. I saw it in Rockford at the start of the year when he started moving his feet and making plays. He was an unbelievable player, and that's why he got the call up. And I think he's kind of getting his feet wet and getting a couple more games under his belt and feeling a lot more confident.
How challenging is it for a young player when they're taking on these skilled teams the last couple of games? Knowing how quick things can turn with how deep and how skilled that they are too.
Yeah, obviously sometimes it's tough playing some of those top end players right off the bat, but it's a good challenge. And there's good players all around the league. You're never going to stop playing good players, so it's good to get that kind of experience right away.
Compared to when you came up last year, was the number of guys that you played with in Rockford this time around maybe help you be a little bit more comfortable?
Yeah. I was talking about that with Panger earlier. A lot of more familiar faces with the guys that kind of came up from Rockford, or guys I've seen in the last couple of years, kind of building relationships. So it's a lot easier to kind of come up and just feel a little more comfortable.
Will this road trip help galvanize guys, help with bonding, especially with a lot of new faces in the locker room?
Yeah, I think anytime you get on the road and you're spending time with the team only, and a lot of young guys kind of been called up in the last little bit, so I think it's good to kind of see each other a lot more and help build that chemistry.
Thanks, Ethan.
Thank you.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Ethan Del Mastro. Really liked his game in this one against Minnesota. His play, particularly on the Frank Nazar goal, the 4-on-4 goal for Chicago that cut it to 3-2. I feel like with Del Mastro, he's the kind of guy that his game translates best when he's playing in the NHL versus the AHL, where it's a little bit more scrambly. But man, he's 6'4", 200 plus pounds. Like, he's already got the NHL body and professional experience. So I would be surprised if we didn't see him for a long stretch here. Like, it feels like he's going to get some pretty good run to showcase his talents in the NHL, and the Blackhawks can get a little bit more clarity on how his game is translating to the NHL. So, Hawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 4-2. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game. We'll also hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen on his thoughts about the loss coming up on 720 WGN.
Rough stuff going on in front of the net. Now a shot from the high slot. It's turned out of there by Mrazek, and the whistle blows.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Peter Mrazek made 24 saves on 27 shots for a save percentage of .889. I thought he was good. He was really good in this game. Obviously, the Blackhawks had only 5 shots on goal in the first two periods, so there was a lot of action for Peter Mrazek, even though some of the shots or most of the shots didn't hit the net for Minnesota. The Mrazek had to be on his A game because the play was in their own zone quite frequently. And his counterpart, Philip Gustafson, made 18 saves on 20 shots for a .900 save percentage. By the way, Marc-Andre Fleury, he was obviously the backup in this game for the Wild, and the Blackhawks decided to recognize the former Blackhawks goaltender with a little bit of a video tribute, or kind of a recognition on the Jumbotron inside the arena. Fleury had announced before the season that this was going to be his last year in the NHL, and he was going to retire at the end of it. And so, Fleury's had an unbelievable career. First ballot all Hall of Famer, but he'll always be tied to the Blackhawks organization because he picked up his 500th career NHL win in a Blackhawks sweater against the Montreal Canadiens. It was in Montreal, and that was a memorable game for Marc-Andre Fleury. It was funny because Fleury, the visiting bench here at the United Center doesn't have room for the backup goaltender, so the visiting goaltender either has to watch the game inside the visiting locker room or kind of right outside or inside the hallway, and so you can't really see it. And so the video board was saying congratulations to Marc-Andre Fleury on a great career or whatever, and you could tell there was a little bit of delay in getting the shot for Fleury because you couldn't see him behind the glass, and the coaches were kind of blocking the way, and so one of the coaches had kind of stepped to the side, and Fleury stood up and kind of gave a quick late wave right before the play returned or resumed. So cool that Marc-Andre Fleury got the recognition. I know he was only here in Chicago for a year, but man, he really makes his impact and his legacy. And I also noticed during the pregame warmups, the Minnesota Wild had a little bit of a pregame shootout towards the very end, and that's something the Blackhawks did with Marc-Andre Fleury. He kind of helped institute that. So it feels like wherever Fleury goes, that tradition follows. So I'm not sure if there's anyone in the NHL that has more fun playing hockey than Marc-Andre Fleury. So congrats on a great career for Marc-Andre Fleury, and hopefully for his sake, you know, there's one last little run for Minnesota to see if they can they can make a deep run to kind of close out Marc-Andre Fleury's career. So also wanted to shout out, I know Peter Mrazek, I was just mentioning him. The Hawks have gotten some decent goaltending the last few games here. And so that's been an encouragement. I know goaltending under Sorensen for the first month and a half-ish, for first month and 5 weeks or whatever it was, 5-6 weeks, they had really struggled to get goaltending. And I think they were down in the bottom bottom three of the NHL. I think it was either 30th or 31st in the first 5 weeks under Sorensen. So it's good to see the Hawks are starting to trend a little bit in the other direction, where they're really getting some quality goaltending. All right, let's get to one more break. Then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show. We'll have Sorensen's thoughts on the loss on the other side. You're listening to 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, Chicago's interim head coach Anders Sorensen just spoke to the media after this 4-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild. Let's listen in.
You know, the Wild played last night, and then the first for you guys. What was happening? What was not happening? Was it something that they were doing? Or?
It was a combination. For whatever reason, they were on top of us, and we weren't ready to battle through some of that. And, you know, we spent too much time in our own zone. And then, you know, we had opportunities to shoot, and we missed the net or we got blocked, right? So then it's hard to sustain any type of pressure.
I know it didn't matter at the time, but Foligno's penalty obviously came back with the one-goal game. What, were you okay with that, or does he need to hold his emotions in check and all there?
Yeah, I mean, got to be better there, right?
It seemed like Brian Donato's energy right out of the gate in the third period shifted the momentum a little bit. Was that something that you guys talked about? And is he one of those guys that you can count on when you need a spark to go out and do that?
Yeah, that line, the first two periods, was by far our best line, right? They were one of the few lines that were able to sustain any type of pressure and be down in the offensive zone. And they played a pretty simple game, right? And, on the bench too, those were the guys that were trying to get going and get the group going, and then so that's what we started them, and that's why they played a lot, and that was positive.
What do you see from Del Mastro?
I thought, you know, some good moments obviously on the goal there, and some, you know, I thought he battled, you know, got stuck a couple of times in the D zone, just maybe trying to do a little bit too much. But that was not just him, it was us as a group, right?
As you have more and more young guys on this team, even when you lose and even if it's maybe not the game that is what you'd like to see, what can they learn from that so that it still has benefit long term?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think that's the key, right? You got to learn from that this league is tough, right? Like, it's a hard league to play in, especially as a young player. And, you know, you got to find your opportunities to create offense, but you also got to find your shifts where you got to realize that there's not much going on. I just got to play shifts off, right? Kind of, especially as a D-man, you got to advance pucks and just keep it efficient that way, and then obviously defend hard, right? And I think that sometimes as young players could be a learning lesson, and then today it was for a lot of them, right?
We called Slagert for the road trip, yeah. I'm assuming, and everything. And how have you seen him down in Rockford so far this season?
Yeah, he deserves the call-up. He's been one of the best forwards down there all year, and obviously he was here last year for 20-some games and played well, and brings a lot of different elements. He can play it up and down your lineup. He's good on penalty kill, and you know, he plays with some emotions as well.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. It's time now for our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be in Tampa on Tuesday night to take on the Lightning, who were here at the United Center on Friday, and the Hawks lost that game 4-3 in overtime, and they were outshot 40-14. So if the Hawks want to get in the win column, they're going to have to make the shots be a little bit more even in that game, and also 3-for-3 on the power play were the Lightning in that game on Friday. So stay out of the penalty box if you're Chicago on Tuesday against Tampa as they start a three-game road trip. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Huge thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Frank Ruggieri. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our fearless Colonel Brett Jackson back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call on Hockey Fights Cancer Night, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 4-2 Blackhawks loss to the Minnesota Wild. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night.